I'd like to again dedicate this shmuz Lili Nishmas, my grandmother Ina Rivka Bas Aryeh Leib. I'm actually going to begin the shmuz with a thought that would have made the waves, the airwaves in America this coming Friday, but because my father Shlita is an onen, he's not allowed to share Divrei Torah and speak in Divrei Torah, and he's not allowed to, as an Avel, teach Torah. So he's not going to say the Tevat Torah on the radio this coming Friday. But I spoke with my father last night at around 12:25 in a hospital. And my father always wants the Tevat Torah, and he always likes to speak out what he's going to do on the radio program with me. And he usually does it on Wednesday night. He records it, so I figured that I would share over something that we spoke out together last night, which relates actually very much to what I wanted to talk about anyway today in the shmooze. So this will be, if it didn't make it to the waves, to the American airwaves, to Nachum Siegel, JM and the AM, so at least we'll try to share that piece of Torah over here, so it'll be also come out as a discussion for my grandmother. If you look in Parashas Nitzavim, which is always read before Rosh Hashanah, you find, I think, a general theme that carries through throughout the parasha. It's almost as though you have like a coach of a team, whatever team you like. I know football is being sniffed out in the air over here, whether it's football or basketball or any other sport. If you have a coach and a good coach, the good coach is going to be very encouraging. A good coach is always going to try to push you and support you and encourage you to do the best that you can. It's almost like before Rosh Hashanah every year, Reparsh Nitzavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kav Yachol, the best coach, the coach of coaches, is encouraging us and telling us a little bit about what we can do, what we should do, what we're capable of doing as Rosh Hashanah comes. I'll just read a couple of ways that I see this almost like jumping out in the Pesukim. The Torah begins, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, you're all here. I'll come back to that word in a minute, later. You're all here, kulchem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. You're all here, rasheichem shevteichem. You're all standing here, kol yish Yisrael tapchem neshechem gercha. Everybody's here. Why are you here? La'avrecha bivris Hashem elokeichem v'ala. So, asher Hashem elokeichem kreisim chayom. You're all here together. It's like a, you know, lahavdil again, like a coach. You know, like here we are, the big day. We finally made it to whatever, to the Super Bowl, we finally made it to, if you're in the Yeshiva League, to Madison Square Garden or the Meadowlands, we're going to play in this arena. Get pumped. If you look a little later on in the parasha, there's a famous part of the parasha, a very famous part of the parasha, which is Machlokas, and we show how to learn it. The beginning of Shishi, the Torah says, Ki ha-mitzvah azos, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom. The mitzvah that I'm commanding you today. What mitzvah is that? Machlokes. Either the mitzvah of learning Torah together or the mitzvah of teshuvah. How does the Torah describe the mitzvah? Lo niflesi mimcha. It's not far from you. Lo rechokai. It's not distant. Lo bashamayimi. Lo me'ever layami. Rather, where is it? Almost like you're about to stand before Rosh Hashanah. You're about to have the Yom HaDin. It comes along HaKadosh Baruch Hu and tells you a little bit about the mitzvah of tshuva. What is it? Kikarov eilecha adavar meod beficha uvelvavcha la'asoso. You could do it. It's very close to you. It's very near to you. It's right here. It's next to you. You could touch it. Again, the encouragement. The very end of the parasha Nitzavim. It happens to be a mitzvah parasha, so I'm a little bit familiar with the parasha. But the Torah says at the very end, Hashem says to Bnei Yisrael, you're going to have choices. Re'ei. Nasati lefanecha hayom. Hashem says, I'm giving you today hachayim v'atov, hamavis v'asara. And Hashem says, hachayim v'amavis, nasati lefanecha, I give you life and death, habracha v'aklala. Next two words, in the mafia of the parasha, uvacharta b'chayim. Do me a favor, Hashem says, kavyachol. Please, just choose life. I know you could do it. It's not far from you. You're all here together. Uvachar, just choose life. It's like a mom is like a coach just telling you, you're able, you're capable, you could do it. Please do it. There are a lot of different things to focus on, to prepare for the big day that's coming up in only 5 or 6 days. A lot of things to think about. I'd like to pick one out of the parasha, which there's no such thing as a coincidence. I think the fact that I prepared it before my grandmother was Nifteres, and the fact that it's very, very applicable to her life, which I'll show you at the end, how much this epitomized her essence. But Bechlal, it's a very, very important idea. My father last night told me, on the opening word in the Pasuk, it says, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, all of you. The obvious question is, what's the word kulchem coming for? After all, it tells you exactly who's there. It tells you, Rasheichem, Shivteichem, Zignechem, Shotreichem, Kol Yish Yisrael, Tavchem, Nezheichem, Gerha, all shopping with the people. And it says, kulchem, all of you. Now I know who's there. So what exactly is the Torah telling me by telling me the word kulchem? So my father told me over last night a very beautiful pshat in the altar of Kelm. He says as follows. He says, he quotes the Torah. The Torah says that there's no nation like the Jewish nation. Because a regular person who goes to court for a big judgment, how does he walk in? He's wearing black. He's all nervous. He's going to fast. What's going to be the outcome of this court case? And how do we come into Rosh Hashanah? We wear white. And we eat and we drink. And we know that we're going to be okay. And the obvious question is, how do we know? We don't know. What the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the books of life and the books of the others are open. And everyone's decreed. So what do you mean? We know that we're going to survive. And listen to the beautiful pshat of the Alter Mikelm. He said, the pshat is as follows. Who is certainly going to survive? Klal Yisrael is going to survive as a people. Being part of a people, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, we as a people have a promise from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to last. And therefore as a people, as a group, we can all wear white and we can eat good food and drink on Rosh Hashanah and rejoice. Because we know that we are going to start the people. Every yachid has no guarantee like that. Every individual, maybe yes, maybe no. And on both sides, it's so important as Rosh Hashanah approaches to focus on this idea of kulchem, of being part of the klal. If you're part of the klal, you have a better chance of survival. The more you are a yachid, the more you are an individual, the more you want to stand out and not be part of the klal, the more you're judged as an individual. I'd like to talk a little bit about this idea of Yatzelecha Kamocha, of being part of the klal, of connecting to the klal, which is a very, very important thing to think about all the time, especially as Rosh Hashanah comes, because of this idea of kulchem. And we'll see that this was really a beautiful media that my grandmother, Allah Shalom, really epitomized. I saw yesterday on the Tiyul, and I'll come back to the Tiyul in a minute, I saw yesterday on Tiyul a beautiful story in the Sefer Aleinu Shabeach. A beautiful story, almost a sad story, but a very powerful story. There was a great tzaddik in Yerushalayim who passed away many years ago. Actually, he passed away during my Shana Bet in Eretz Yisrael. So going back a couple of moons ago. His name was Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Remember the day he was Nifter, one of the biggest Levaya in the history of history. Maybe the biggest Levaya ever. Hundreds of thousands of people came to the Levaya. A great Jew. A man who lived in Shlomo Zalman's neighbor once came to Shlomo Zalman and said, almost like in tears, Rebbe, I don't get it. I'm a learned man. I learn a lot. I'm focused on learning, spending a lot of time on learning. And my children, they're not going my path so much. They're interested in other things. And I have a neighbor who's, quote unquote, a pashut balabas, simple balabas. His children are all outstanding. One is greater than the next. Rebbe, can you explain to me what's going on over here? How could it be? Shlomo Zalman turned to him and said, I'll tell you what I think might be the answer to your puzzle. He said, I know you. I speak to you a lot. You're an outstanding Talmid Chacham yourself. You're a wonderful scholar. Every time I talk to you, Shlomo Zalman said, it doesn't take too long until we get into a discussion about the validity about a certain other Talmid Chacham. And you say, you know, that person said something, but I'm not so sure how legitimate it is. And this person, you know, he's from a different type of section of Jews than us. I'm not really sure I can rely upon his psak. And almost every time we speak, I always found some derogatory comment about somebody else. There's a good chance your children heard that. And they said, you know what, I don't want to be a part of that. But your neighbor, who's quote-unquote a pashut yid, every word that comes out of his mouth about anybody else is positive. He doesn't care what section of Jews they come from, what brand they are. It's all the same. It's all good. And the children at the Shabbos, they heard that also. And they said, wow, if it's all good, I also want to be part of the good. Someone suggested maybe that's the reason why his children are so much liach and so strong in their commitment to Yiddishkeit, and you're not. Because you, unfortunately, are lacking, he said, and I'm sure in a very nice way, in this midah of Yahatil Kamocha. And your neighbor is very, very strict and very meticulous in this area, and therefore in his children, you see the results. And again, as Rosh Hashanah comes, and we try to think about ways to be zoche badin, to survive judgment, so it's so important to think and take stock and ask ourselves, where are we in terms of this area? How committed are we to this mitzvah of Yahatil Kamocha? And I'll tell you, this is particularly important to us in yeshiva. In yeshiva, we've just started a zman. Yeshiva just began a little more than a week ago. We just got here. And when you come to a new place, when you come to a big place, a big yeshiva, a lot of guys here, there's a lot of just acclimating that needs to take place. And not everyone knows everybody else. And there are so many opportunities that we have on a daily basis, I would say even on an hourly basis, to make somebody else feel good. To go out of our way and just show somebody else that I care about him. To go out of our way and say, hi, how you doing? You know, my name is Andy, nice to meet you. And it doesn't take a lot, and it's not hard, but it goes such a long way. I got to share with you a story that happened yesterday in Tiel. And we all saw it, and I was very moved by it. I was very impressed by it. Towards the end of the day, we went to a Har Gilboa. If you forgot, it was the one that caused you to be sore and bitten up and scratched you up and all that fun things. And I got to thank Alex Luhab for saving my life around 5 times as I almost fell down the mountain, slipped down like many times. But anyway, Har Gilboa. So many of you ran down the mountain. Some of us slid down the mountain. But it doesn't make a difference. Most of us got down the mountain. Okay. And we got on the buses, ready to go to Sakhna. And there were a few people that were behind. I had a little bit more of a difficult time getting down the mountain. I run our bus, sitting on my bus. I was on bus number 3, the blue bus. And we look out our window, and someone noticed that there were some guys that were having a hard time. Now, I don't know about you, but I was tired, and it was hot outside. And I sat in my seat, and there were a few tzaddikim, some from this year, some from other year, it doesn't make a difference. I got off the bus and ran back to these guys. They were tired also. They were hot also. And they ran to see if they could be of assistance to these guys to come back and help them out. I said to myself, I am so proud and so happy to be a part of this yeshiva. I am so proud. That is a beautiful display, not a hard one, a beautiful display of Yahavta Kamocha. They cared, and they wanted to show that they cared. And they went out of their way to go and care. It doesn't take so much necessarily to do this. But if we just are samlev, we think about it, keep it on our mind, and we're mindful about it, there's billions of opportunities throughout the course of the year for us to show the next person that we care about, the next person. Whether it is in the dining room, whether it is in the dorm, whether it is on the basketball courts, wherever it is, on the teal, on Shabbos, whatever it is, there's so many ways to go ahead and show this and to work on this midah. And I want to skip another story that I was going to share with you. And I want to shift gears to my grandmother, Alah Shalom. It's hard to talk about it. It's so fresh. But it's a little bit therapeutic for me also. So I'll share a couple of my feelings and my thoughts. We're talking about this idea of Yahavta Lecha Kamocha, of being concerned with your next friend, with the person next to you. So I think probably, and she excelled in so many areas, but one of the areas that she really excelled in was in this area. And I have to tell you a quick little anecdote or two. My father's a rabbi. My grandmother, she was 93 when she passed away. For the past, I don't know how many years, she's been coming to us for almost all the Yom Tovim. We had to split her with my other cousins, but since my father's a rabbi, she comes a lot to my father. whenever my father would speak any drasha, she would fix and glue her eyes on my father and not take them off. And you could have said, maybe it's because it was her son and she loved her son. But whenever she spoke to any person, her eyes were glued on the person. It wasn't like she was thinking about something else, and she was busy with something else. She gave you her entire attention. There was a kavod ha'adam about her, which is hard to find. Think about it. There's so many times that we talk to people and we're looking elsewhere and we're, our mind is ready on the next thing that we have to do. And here was a simple, and I say that in the most revered way, an incredible woman who was just focused on kavod ha'adam and being thankful and being focused on the next person. I joke around. I may have even said this year already. When I want to fix, when I needed a quick fix and a quick elevation, I would call my grandmother. You might say, yeah, I'm being a good grandson. I'm calling my grandmother. It's not true. I'm saying this, if ne'am va'eda, it's not true. I try to call as often as I could. I should have probably called more. But I got such a good feeling out of calling her. Andy, how you doing? It's so good to hear from you. Inevitably, thank you so much for calling. Nothing about me. How's your wife? How's your children? Is everything okay? I really appreciate the call. You made my day. It's so nice to hear from you. Now, who wouldn't want to call a person like that? You feel so good. It's like, wow. How much does it take? And how much does it cost? For us to call a parent and say, have a good day. For us to call a grandparent. Baruch Hashem, I'm sure many people in this room still have grandparents. I lost my last grandparent last night. Thank God I was zochah to have a great relationship with three of my grandparents. I'm named for the fourth one. But they're grandparents, and they're waiting for phone calls. And if you call them and you say, hi, how you doing? You don't know what kind of difference it makes. And I don't want to go around the room and ask how many people in this room called their grandparents and how many times they got to yeshiva. But I guarantee if you call one more time to your grandparents, randomly, it'll go a long way, and they'll appreciate it a lot. And it's not a hard thing to do. And it shows, again, I'm concerned about the yahavtel kamocha. I'm concerned about the feelings of the next person, about the wants and needs of the next person as well. As a parent, I could say this, and I'm sure as a grandparent, I know as a grandparent, my Bubby always used to say this. And I would come tell my Bubby, Bubby, I have cousins in Eretz Yisrael, and we're getting together, and we're gonna spend Shabbos together. Nothing made her happier. Her grandchildren, we were first cousins, and we're going to spend time, we're going to bond together. How much nachas does a parent get when the children get along? How much nachas does a grandparent get when the grandchildren are playing together? Well, I say that not in any other way, but as a hakdama for Rosh Hashanah. Vayhi bishu and melech. We're about to hear a lot about melech. Melech, melech. Hashem is the melech. Vayhi bishu and melech. When does Hashem melech be yeshurin amongst Klal Yisrael? Bis asif rashay am yachad shiftei Yisrael. The closer the kingdom, the more nachas for the king. The more apart the kingdom is, the less the king is a king. My grandmother had nachas from her family. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nachas from us as his family. In as much as we realize and appreciate that we are his family. And the beginning steps of that is to try to focus on the Yahavtel Kamocha, to try to mechazik in this area, to work harder and stronger, and look out for opportunities to help our friends and to be there for our friends. And by doing that, Bez Hashem, we'll come into the Yom HaDin with an extra schus on our hands, and we'll be zocha to bring a lot of nachas, ruach, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and hopefully to be zocha, to be part of the kulchan, part of the Klal Yisrael, that has a guarantee to be saved on the Yom HaDin. Have a wonderful Shabbos.